Welcome to the deep dive. You know that moment when your hair just isn't cooperating?
Oh, absolutely. Well, today we're tackling a seemingly simple tool that can actually make a huge difference. Your hairbrush.
Right. And we've been looking at this really helpful article from Amity's Hair Salon.
Exactly. It's called Choosing the Right Hairbrush for Your Type, a Universal Guide. They posted it April 30th, 2025.
Amity's Hair Salon. They're based at 21 High St. Lane End, High Wycombe.
Right. That's the one. Got a phone number too, 07562-953-785, and an email protected, if anyone's nearby or curious.
Okay, so if you've ever stood in an aisle just staring at a wall of hairbrushes, feeling totally lost, well, this deep dive is definitely for you.
Yeah, our mission today is basically to untangle that mystery.
Help you understand why picking the right brush for your specific hair type can be such a game changer.
We want to pull out the really useful advice from this guide so you feel confident next time you need a brush.
And this Amity's guide seems pretty comprehensive.
It really is. It covers, you know, the basics, hair types like straight, wavy, curly,
Okay.
And then it gets into the materials like natural bristles versus synthetic, mixed ones, boar bristles.
Right, the bit of her materials.
And shapes and sizes too, paddle brushes, round ones, vent brushes, how they actually work.
And even specialized ones, like for detangling.
Yep, detangling, teasing, even scalp massaging brushes. It's all in there.
Okay, let's jump in. Starting with straight hair. If you want that super smooth, shiny look, the brush choice seems pretty key, according to the article.
Absolutely. For straight hair, it's often about keeping it smooth and boosting the shine.
Makes sense.
And the guide really highlights paddle brushes for this.
Ah, the big flat ones.
Yeah, exactly. Their wide surface is great for detangling efficiently, especially if your hair is longer. And crucially, they help spread those natural oils from your scalp down to the ends.
Which gives you that sleekness and shine, right?
Precisely. Think of it as your daily go-to for smoothing things out.
Okay. And what about boar bristle brushes? They always sound a bit luxurious.
Well, they are really good for straight hair, too. Boar bristles are kind of unique. They gently smooth down the hair cuticle.
The cuticle, that's the outer layer.
Yeah, like tiny shingles on a roof, smoothing them locks in moisture, and really enhances that luster, that shine. The main thing the article stresses is finding one that glides through easily without snagging. You really want to avoid breakage.
Definitely. Snagging is the worst. Now, the guide also mentioned brush size and bristle spacing mattering. I hadn't really thought about that.
It's one of those details that can make a surprising difference, yeah.
How so?
Well, if you have long straight hair, a wider brush obviously covers more hair faster, more efficient.
Okay.
And for shorter cuts, a smaller brush gives you a bit more control.
Right. And the spacing.
Wider spaced bristles are generally less likely to cause tangles in straight hair. They just glide through a bit more easily.
Got it. Okay, let's switch gears to wavy hair. That feels like a constant juggle, you know? Hmm. Enhancing the waves, but fighting the frizz.
It really can be. Wavy hair definitely has its own set of needs.
So what does the guide suggest?
First off, for detangling, especially when it's wet, a wide tooth comb is often recommended.
A comb, not a brush.
Yeah, because wet hair is just more fragile. A comb is gentler, less likely to break the hair or mess up your natural wave pattern.
That makes sense. I've definitely brushed wet hair before. Oops. What about styling then? Round brushes seem popular for waves.
They are. Great for styling wavy hair, especially with a blow dryer. They help add volume and really define those waves.
Okay.
But the article warns about using synthetic bristles here sometimes. They can create static.
Ah, static. The enemy of smooth waves.
Exactly. So maybe look at mixed bristle brushes as a good alternative. They tend to glide through nicely and define waves without causing as much frizz.
And just for like general detangling on dry wavy hair without flattening it.
For that, the guide points towards specific detangling brushes designed for wavy hair. They usually have softer, more flexible bristles.
So they work through knots without pulling the wave out.
Pretty much, yeah. They maintain that natural texture better.
Okay, interesting. Now, curly and coily hair, that's a whole different world, isn't it? Moisture and keeping that cool pattern seem crucial.
Definitely. Unique challenges there, mainly around texture and moisture retention.
So what's the brush strategy?
Again, gentleness is key. Like with wavy hair, a wide tooth comb is often the best bet for detangling.
And same advice, detangle wet.
Yes, absolutely. Wet hair that's loaded with conditioner that minimizes friction and protects the curl pattern.
I've seen those special curly hair brushes like Denman brushes. What do they do exactly?
Ah, yeah. Think of those like the Denman as curl definers.
Definers.
They're designed to help separate curls, grouping the strands together for a more polished, defined look. Gives you that nice uniform pattern.
Okay.
The article also mentions boar bristle brushes can be good here too, surprisingly.
Really?
For curly hair. Yeah, for distributing those natural oils, which curly hair really needs. Helps keep it healthy and moisturized. But again, gentle touch is paramount to avoid frizz or breakage.
And you mentioned moisture being key.
Oh, absolutely essential. Curly and coily types tend to be drier naturally.
So what do you do?
The guide strongly recommends using a good leave-in conditioner or a curl cream before you even start combing or brushing. Creates slip, makes everything easier.
Right. Prep is important. Okay, let's dig into the materials these brushes are made from. Natural bristles first.
Okay, natural bristles, often boar bristles, are really prized because they're great at distributing your scalp's natural oils, the sebum.
Ah, so moving the oil down the hair shaft.
Exactly. It's like a natural conditioner. Keeps hair moisturized, adds shine, really good for dry or damaged hair.
Sounds lovely. Like a little spa treatment while you brush.
Kind of, yeah. And they're usually quite gentle, so less snagging, less frizz. Good for straight and wavy types.
Less friction, too. Maybe good if you heat style.
Definitely a bonus. Plus, that gentle massaging action on the scalp, it stimulates blood flow, which is thought to be good for healthy hair growth.
Interesting. Okay, what about synthetic bristles? They seem more common, maybe cheaper.
They often are, yeah. And synthetics have come a long way. They're generally durable, often water resistant.
Good for using with products or on wet hair, then.
Right. And many are heat resistant, so you see them a lot in brushes meant for blow drying or heat styling.
Any downsides?
Well, the article does mention that some synthetic materials can generate static, that annoying flyaway effect.
Yeah. Not great for frizzy hair.
Exactly. So it depends on the specific type of synthetic bristle, really.
Got it. And then there are mixed bristle brushes. Best of both worlds.
That's the idea. Combining natural bristles for that oil distribution with synthetic ones for, say, better detangling makes them pretty versatile.
Good for different hair textures, maybe.
Yeah, or if your hair is a mix, like straight in some places, wavy in others. Plus, they tend to create less static than pure synthetic.
Okay. And finally, boar bristles again. We mentioned them for straight and curly, but any other highlights?
They're just really excellent, especially for thicker or coarser hair, because they're so good at distributing oils and smoothing that cuticle. Really tackles frizz.
So great for smoothness.
Definitely. Gives a really polished look to straight or slightly wavy hair. And you still get that nice scalp stimulation benefit. Just need to pick the right size and density for your hair thickness.
Right. Okay, bristle types covered. Now, shapes and sizes, cattle brushes, the big flat ones. What's their main job?
They're real workhorses. Great for detangling and smoothing. Pretty much all hair types, but especially good if you have long or thick hair.
Why is that?
The wide, flat surface just covers more ground and distributes the pressure evenly. That helps reduce frizz.
And they often have that cushiony base, right?
Yeah, makes it gentler on the scalp. The article even notes you can use them on dry, curly, or coily hair sometimes just to gently smooth or shape without killing the curl pattern entirely.
Huh, versatile. Okay, what about round brushes? They seem essential for styling.
Absolutely key if you want volume or if you're creating curls or waves with a blow dryer.
How do they work for that?
You wrap sections of hair around the barrel while applying heat, and it shapes the hair, boosts volume at the roots, creates movement.
Does the size matter?
Oh, definitely. Bigger barrel, looser waves. Smaller barrel, tighter curls. Simple as that.
And bristle type matters here, too.
Yeah, like we said, natural bristles can give more smoothness. Synthetic can handle higher heat better. Depends on your goal.
Okay. And those vent brushes. The ones with the holes.
Vent brushes are all about speed and airflow. Those vents let air from your blow dryer pass right through.
So faster drying.
Much faster drying, yeah. Which also means potentially less heat damage because you're exposing the hair for less time.
Good for people who blow dry often then.
Ideal, yeah. Great for getting a quick, smooth, luminous look on damp hair.
It's amazing how much design goes into these things. Okay, specialized brushes. Let's talk detangling brushes first.
Right. These are engineered specifically to get through knots without ripping your hair out.
How do they manage that?
Usually really flexible bristles. They bend and glide around tangles rather than just pulling straight through.
Works on wet and dry hair.
Yep. Effective on both. And really good for all hair types, especially curly or coily, because they help preserve the curl pattern while detangling. Often have comfy ergonomic handles, too.
Sounds gentle. My scalp likes that. What about teasing brushes? Are those still a thing? Feels
Yeah.
very retro.
They are still around and still useful for certain looks. They're all about adding volume and texture right at the root.
How do they work? Backcombing.
Exactly. They usually have really densely packed bristles, perfect for backcombing, often narrow too, so you can target specific spots for lift.
Good for fine hair, maybe.
Yeah, great for finer, flatter hair needing some oomph. The key, though, the article stresses, is being gentle. Don't go crazy or you'll cause breakage.
Good advice. And finally, scalp massaging brushes. Sounds like pure luxury.
It can feel like it, but they have benefits beyond just feeling nice. They stimulate blood circulation in the scalp,
Which is good for growth.
potentially encourages healthy hair growth, yeah, and just improves overall scalp health. Good if you have thinning hair or scalp issues.
Plus relaxation.
Definitely helps relieve tension. They usually have soft, rounded bristles that also help loosen dirt or product buildup. Can even make scalp treatments work better.
Okay, so we've picked the perfect brush, or maybe a few. How do we look after them? Cleaning seems important.
Super important for hygiene and performance. Hair, dust, product buildup, it all gets trapped.
So what's the process?
First, get the loose hair out. You can use a comb or even another brush for that. Then, maybe every few weeks, soak the brush head.
In what?
Warm, soapy water, just for 10-15 minutes. Be careful with wooden handles, though. Don't soak the wood itself if you can help it.
Okay.
Then, use an old toothbrush to gently scrub the bristles and the base. Rinse it really well.
And drying.
Let it air dry completely. Best to place it bristles down on a towel so water drains away. Simple routine, big difference in how long your brush lasts.
Makes total sense. And where should we keep them? Does storage matter?
It does, actually.
Hmm.
Ideally, keep it in a clean, dry place away from direct sunlight, which can degrade materials over time.
So not just thrown in a drawer.
Probably not ideal. A dedicated holder or drawer spot is better. Protects the bristles. And storing them bristles up can help them keep their shape.
Okay. And when is it time to actually replace a brush? What are the signs?
Few key things to look for. Bristles getting bent, frayed, or falling out.
All right.
If the base or cushion is cracked, or honestly, if it just doesn't feel like it's working well anymore, or it starts to feel scratchy or painful on your scalp.
Right. Time for a new one then. What about disinfecting? Is that necessary?
It's not a bad idea, maybe occasionally, for good scalp hygiene. After cleaning it, you could soak it briefly.
It what?
A mix of equal parts water and white vinegar, or maybe rubbing alcohol, just 10-15 minutes. Then rinse really well and air dry. But always check the manufacturer's advice first.
Good point. And quick repairs, like a bent bristle.
Sometimes you can fix minor things. Gently warm a bent synthetic bristle with maybe warm water or a very low setting on a hairdryer. Then try to reshape it with a comb. A loose handle might take some strong glue.
But if it's really worn out.
Yeah, if it's properly damaged, it's usually better for your hair's health just to replace it.
Okay, so we have the right brush, it's clean. How do we actually use it best?
Yeah.
Any techniques? Let's start with detangling.
Right. If your hair's wet, remember it's fragile. So wide tooth comb or detangling brush is best.
With conditioner.
Definitely use a leave-in conditioner or detangler spray for slip. And always, always start at the ends. Gently work out knots there, then move up towards the roots bit by bit.
Okay, ends first. What about dry hair?
Paddle brush or maybe a mixed bristle brush can work well. Still be gentle, maybe work in sections if your hair is thick or tangles easily. Avoid just ripping through it.
Got it. And for styling, any pro tips from the guide?
Well, for volume, that classic round brush plus blow dryer technique, lifting at the roots, still works wonders.
And for straighten.
Using a paddle brush as you glide a flat iron down the hair can help get it super smooth.
Makes sense.
And for shine, especially on straight or wavy hair, finishing with a natural bristle brush really helps smooth things down and reduce frizz. And always, always use heat protectant before heat styling.
Crucial reminder. Should we be brushing constantly throughout the day? Or is less more?
Good question. For most people, once or twice a day is usually enough to detangle and spread those oils.
Starting at the ends.
Still start at the ends, yep. Now, if you have curly or coily hair, your main brushing might just be that wet detangling session with a comb.
Right.
Gentle brushing can stimulate the scalp, which is good. But
Yeah.
yeah, you can definitely overbrush. Too much force too often leads to breakage. So, listen to your hair.
Tailor it to your needs. Okay, this has been super helpful. So when we're actually buying a brush, let's talk practicalities. Budget, for instance.
Yeah, budget's always a factor, but the guide makes a great point. Expensive doesn't automatically mean better for you. Focus on finding a brush suited to your hair type and needs. Read reviews, do a bit of research. Think of it as investing in your hair's health. A decent brush can last a while if you care for it.
And our lifestyle must play a part too.
For sure. If you're always rushing, maybe you need something efficient, maybe a good wet-to-dry brush, or something compact for your gym bag. Think about your daily routine.
And ultimately, it's about our hair goals, isn't it?
Exactly. What do you want your hair to do? Need volume? Round brush? Want sleekness? Paddle brush? Need defined curls? Detangling or maybe a Denman style?
So know what you're aiming for.
Right. Yeah. It might even mean having a couple of different brushes for different jobs. Be adaptable.
Okay, before we wrap up, let's quickly bust some common hairbrush myths the article mentioned.
Okay, rapid fire. Myth one, expensive is always best.
False. Find what suits your hair and budget.
Myth two, all brushes work on wet and dry hair.
Also false. Check the recommendations. Some are definitely better for one or the other.
Myth three, you need a different brush for every single style.
Not necessarily, but specialized ones can help a lot and be gentler.
Myth four, cleaning isn't that important.
Definitely false. Clean brushes work better and are way more hygienic.
Myth five, sharing brushes is okay.
Big no. Spreads bacteria, scalp conditions. Just don't.
Myth six, brush as much as possible for healthy hair.
False again. Too much or too aggressive brushing causes damage.
Myth seven, natural bristles are always the best choice.
Not always. Depends on your hair type and what you're doing. Synthetics have their place.
Myth eight, combs and brushes do the same thing.
Nope. Different tools, different benefits. Both can be useful.
Myth nine, keep your brush forever.
Definitely false. Replace it when it's worn out, frayed bristles, cracked base.
And finally, myth 10, everyone must brush daily.
False. Tailor it to your hair type and needs. Curly types might only comb when wet. Okay, busted. So this has been a really fascinating deep dive into something we probably don't think enough about.
It really has.
So the key takeaways seem to be, the right brush is genuinely crucial for your hair's health and how it looks.
Absolutely. And different hair types really do benefit from different brushes, different materials. It's not one size fits all.
And taking care of your brush, cleaning it, storing it right, makes a difference to how long it lasts and how well it works.
Totally. So we really hope this encourages you to, you know, think about your own hair type, what you want it to do, your lifestyle, next time you're brush shopping.
Definitely. And maybe it prompts a little thought. Now you know how much impact this simple tool has.
Hmm.
What other everyday items might be quietly affecting your well-being more than you realize?
Something to ponder.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for joining us for this deep dive.